You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We're carrying on with our series from Isaiah, and we've been camped in it for quite a long time. And it's difficult for us with the series because we have so many breaks and we do other stuff. But we've been in Isaiah 61, and I think it's a key sermon, it's a key verse for us, because it's all about revival. It's all about who we are. But the first thing that, to me, is what it says is this. It's the words that Jesus spoke when he started his ministry. So anything that Jesus says, we need to look at and really hold it in place. Now, I'm going to read where Jesus quotes Isaiah 61. And it says this. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to them by saying, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. It's an amazing place that Jesus starts. This is his first recorded sermon. But where Caris reminded us, right back at the beginning, it said this in Matthew 3, that we're reminded that how before Jesus started this, he received his confirmation and affirmation from the Father of who he was, what his identity is. I was talking to the guys just before the sermon. Everything about our faith, everything about our Christian walk always starts with our identity. Who we are, whose we are, where we've come from, but who we are. Jesus went to see John the Baptist, was baptized, and then we read this passage. It says, at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove in bodily form and resting on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The Lord confirmed his identity and set him up to go on the mission that he was about to begin. But you know, we too have received the same affirmation. You have got the same confirmation. You have the same go. Ephesians says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Not some, not a few, not Hillary's only got these few, but no, every spiritual blessing we've been blessed with. For he chose us. He chose you. Before the creation of the world, he had you in mind. To be holy, to be blameless. And get this, in love, he adopted you. As sons, daughters, in accordance with his pleasure, he loves you. These are my children, in whom I love, and they please me so much. You please God so much. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are, because he created us. He created you to be exactly as you are. He created Keith exactly as Keith. Can you believe it? Come on. We created individually, uniquely by God. He designed us. He designed you. He had you in mind before the world began, before creation. That is who you are. That is how you are. And again, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So not only are we loved by God, not only do we bring him pleasure, but we are also filled with the same Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. Oh my goodness. Doesn't feel like it sometimes, does it? But it's what it says. It's the truth. The truth, it says, will set us free. I heard this testimony a little while ago, and it's really helped me. And there was a lady, it was in America, that she said this. She said, God grabbed hold of me, and he put me in a bubble, and he took me up into the heavens, the stars and the moon. We could see them. It was black, but it was glorious. It was amazing. The wonder of creation. The stars were before me. And the Lord said to her, he said, look, I want to show you how I see you. I know how you see me. I want you to know how I see you. And she says she took her out of the bubble through his heart, and she looked back at herself still in the bubble as God saw her. And it says it was the most amazing, beautiful. The colours that were just shining out of her were just glorious. And it was just the most wonderful, awesome thing that she had ever seen. And God said this. You look at the stars and you're filled with wonder and you're filled with awe about who I am. But for me, I look at you and I'm filled with awe and wonder at who you are and how beautiful you are and how precious you are. And that fills me with awe and wonder. I think that's such an amazing story. But that is how God sees you. That you're not hidden from God. That you're known by God. You are intimately known by God. That I am intimately known by this Saviour who created me. He says that I'm created in God's image. That is how immensely incredible we are, created in the image of God by the perfect creator. And that is who we are. The world would define us, and we quite often, I think, define ourselves. Are we half full or are we half empty? But God doesn't do that. He says that he fills us with his Holy Spirit and that we are full to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. That we're not half full, that we're not half empty, but that we are full and overflowing and continually filled with his goodness and with his kindness and with his righteousness and his power and his authority. That is who we are. That is the God that we reflect. But that is the God that pours out his grace into our lives. You are not half full. You are not half empty. You are overflowing with the Holy Spirit that is within you. That's who we are. That is the truth. That is the truth of the gospel. Filled with power, filled with love, filled with authority. And that's why I love this scripture in Isaiah 61. And that's why I love the way that Jesus spoke these words out. He spoke these words over himself. Was he speaking to the crowd? Was he speaking to principalities or powers? But actually, was he speaking them over himself? And you know what? I think he was speaking them over himself because he knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what was in him. But actually, it says in the Bible, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It says those who love it will eat its food. The superior truth is that life is in the power of the tongue. I am full and overflowing. I don't feel like it, but I am full and overflowing. I am blessed by God. He's my rescuer. I'm calling on the God of Jacob. This is who he is. This is what he is. James 3, it says this. The tongue is powerful. It says, ships, though they are massive, are driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. So the tongue is a small part of the body, but yet it comes with great power. I'm full and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. God is within me. I'm a child of God. I'm protected by God. Doesn't look like it, but I am a child of God. I am full of the Holy Spirit. I'm protected by God. My life has meaning. I was created for purpose. That's who I am. You know, they say that things come into my life by what comes out of my mouth. Things come into my life by what comes out of my mouth. I wish I'd learned this a lot sooner. This is what's great about being married to a primary school teacher. Don't speak these things, negative things, over our lives, because what we agree with, what we speak out over ourselves, can often become our reality. Because what voice are we listening to? What we talk about becomes our experience. But we are people of hope. Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. You are filled with hope. You are overflowing. God, the Holy Spirit, is looking to partner with people of faith and people of hope. Outrageously optimistic. I went for a walk with somebody a few weeks ago and he said, but you're so positive, as if it was like a negative thing. I think, all right, okay, I don't mind that. That sounds quite good. Outrageously optimistic, because I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know that my life is full of purpose. I know that I have things that I'm here to complete and to do. The mantle, Cara spoke last week about the mantle, about the robe of righteousness and the fact that we've been clothed with this robe. We've been clothed with this authority, with this holiness, that God looks upon us and sees righteousness. He doesn't see our flaws and the things that we look at. He sees us as he created us to be, holy, righteous, perfect in his eyes. That's what he's doing. I love this definition of hope. It says, I know that the future will be better than the present, and I have the ability to make it so. Our words can so often define what we choose, what we focus on, and what we're listening to. Hebrews 10, it says, let us hold tightly to our confession. Those songs this morning, do you know, every one of those songs were confessing the truth about who we are. He's our rescuer. He is my rescuer. He is always with me. It doesn't matter how bleak things look. I know that he is my rescuer. He will come. He is always with me. He's always alongside me. Let us hold tightly, firmly to the confession. It's not about just listening, reading. It's about confession. My confession is this. I want us to be a church full of declarations, full of the promise, full of the hope, full of the truth that we read. But let's not just be readers. Let's be speakers. The words are powerful. Your words are so powerful. God creates with words. Creation. He spoke, let there be light. And there was light. I'm full. I'm overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Christ is in me. I am full. I have a purpose. There is a plan. God has something for me that only I can do, that only I can achieve. That whole thing about us carrying God's heart. I have put a new heart within you. Just say that. I have a new heart. God has put his heart in you, within you. You carry the heart of God. I carry the heart of God. I don't have a heart of stone. You know, so often we hear that, we read that and we hear it, and we think it's happening for the first time. But you've been carrying the heart of God for a long time. Some of us have been carrying the heart of God for a very long time. But let's speak that out. We do have the heart of God. I quite often read some of the Psalms, and I love the way that David talks. Why am I so downcast? Have faith in God. Even the youths grow tired and weary, but those who hope in the Lord, what do? They renew their strength. They will rise. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. I could do with doing that. I could run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I will run the race set for me. I will run it. I won't walk it. I will run in the power and in the strength of the Lord. Our words have power. Why am I so downcast? Have faith in God. Our words have power. God isn't afraid to show us dry places. We've got our Ukrainian friends with us. The Ukraine, it's a dry place. It's a trial. It's a struggle. What's going on there is so hard and so difficult. But we all go through places of struggle and of hardness and of difficulty, whether it's financial, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a work issue, whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's a home issue and an accommodation thing. But our beliefs don't come from dryness or come from the place where we're at. They come from the hope that is within us. And I just love this passage. The Lord gave me this passage a while ago, and it keeps coming back to me. Because what we think about things, what our beliefs are, can so often restrict what God can do, or actually it can empower what the Lord can do, because he partners with us. God doesn't take us over and make us do things, but he's looking to partner with us. Hey, Ezekiel, come and look at this. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you see. Let me know what you think can happen. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very, very dry. Son of man, he said, can these bones live? Can this visa situation be turned around? Can this health issue be turned around? What is the future for that situation? Is it hope? Or is it dry? What is the dryness of my finances? What is the dryness of that? Look at my country, at my nation. It's dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? It's a great reply. O sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, and then he says to you, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. So I spoke. I spoke as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, as I was speaking, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, speak to it and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they might live. So I prophesied, so I spoke as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. Dry bones, hopeless situations, dryness, nothing good is going to happen. But I believe that God says to us, hear the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. Speak truth over yourselves. I'm not half empty. I'm not half full. I'm full and I'm overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God. That is who I am. This is whose I am. The future for me is one of hope. It's filled with hope. There is promise over my life. There is purpose over my life. I'm here. The purpose that my overflow will infect, will spread around those that are around me. Wherever I go, I will make a change because I carry God with me. His presence is with me wherever I go. Amen? Come on. Ezekiel 37, that was. You know, so often I think, even as we're sort of planting, I can have a drink. It tastes good. It tastes good. What are the lies that I've listened to? You know what? I have no influence. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm invisible. If I'm not there, it doesn't really matter. I won't be missed. Nothing will change. God doesn't do miracles here. Something else that was spoken of. Tudorville is too hard for the gospel. Tudorville's a tough place. It'll be too hard for you there. But for every lie that comes from the pit of hell, from every lie that is spoken over us or into us, there's always a truth. There's always a truth of who we are, of what we are, whose we are, and the truth from the gospel. It says that we have the precious promises of God so that we participate in the divine nature. That we can participate, that we can think, that we can act, that we can have our hope and our confidence, not based on what we see and lies, but based on the truth. For every lie that says that I have no influence, the word of God is within me, that I have a sharp double-edged sword. It says that can bind the enemy. It says that I can loose on earth what is loose in heaven, that I can bind on earth what is bound in heaven. Because that's who I am. That's my authority. Because I'm from God. I was created in his image. Because I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Because I hear his voice. That's who I am. That's who we are. That's who we as a church from. We have a particular thing with at home with our boys in Follow the Lord at the minute. But what do I say to that? I say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I will speak that, and I speak that out over their lives. It's amazing, isn't it? God is so good. We took one of our boys off. He's gone to Kuala Lumpur, Malaya this week. And we love our kids so much. I guess we could all say that. We love them so much. They're so precious. But, you know, it's just great to hug him. I just felt, just as I left him, we took him to a hotel before he flew off. And, you know, just to hug him, just felt that emotion. It's my boy, it's my little boy. He's not little anymore, he's up here. But You know, I love him so much. But he knows that I love him so much. He knows that he can call me at any time. That if I need to go to Malaya, I'll go to Malaya. Whatever happens, he knows that he's my son. He is precious. JP and Pat are amazing, aren't they? Just love them so much. Do you know, there are some people that when they walk into a room, the whole atmosphere changes. We were on holiday. We were lucky enough to go to Gran Canaria recently, and part of Spain. Nothing against the Spanish, but you know, the staff were all okay. They weren't overly friendly. They weren't, you know, they were just doing their job, which is quite interesting. But there was one girl, there was one waitress, and whenever she came in and the atmosphere in that place changed. She sang, she spoke to everyone, she was joyful, she was happy to be there. She let you know how she was feeling, what was going on in her life. And it was just, she was amazing. But she didn't do anything particularly special, but she was just full of joy. And I think Elena, JP and Paolo's little girl, has the same sort of thing, that when she comes in, she bounds in, she's full of joy. She's very loud. But you know when she's there. And I just, I always remember JP saying recently, I don't know whether he said it here, but that obviously they're from Brazil and they speak Portuguese. But they said that what they'd found was that, you know, they wanted Elena to pick up English. So they were talking English at home. And then gradually they found that actually she was talking English all the time because she was going to school. She's going to nursery, I guess, speaking English there. They were coming home. And all of a sudden that they thought, well, she's forgetting her identity. She's forgetting, actually, she's Brazilian. Her culture is Portuguese. And so deliberately, they've had to begin speaking Portuguese at home and speaking the language of where she's from. And that speaks to me. It says we need to speak the language of where we're from. We're not from here. That we are citizens of heaven and that we speak the language of heaven. And it's easy to get very grey in the culture and get immersed in the culture and the language of the world and what's going on and the news and the gossip and all of that. But actually, well, maybe the situation, you know, whether it's war, whether it's hardship, whatever, it's easy to get dragged into the world and what's going on. But we're called, our culture is from heaven. We have this language from heaven. We have this culture from heaven, and we need to make sure that we are speaking in our homes, in our minds, in the places of influence, the language of heaven, the truth. That is our language. That's where we've come. I love this, that we are thermostats, that you are a thermostat, that it's you that controls, partly maybe, my theology might be a dodgy here, but we control the spiritual temperature of our lives. That there's always a choice. God wants to partner with us and is desperate to partner with us and to come in. But he can only come in as much as we allow him. We set the temperature in our lives. What we do, what we say, what we focus on sets that temperature. You know, we're quite good at being thermometers and that we can judge whether things are good or whether things are not so good. But actually, we have the ability to dial up the heat. We have the ability to change what's happening in our lives. Our words have power. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, that my experience and my belief and my hope are in two very different places. My experience is that I'm really struggling with this, but my hope is that I know God is with me and I know that he'll bring me through this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I'm walking through. I'm getting from one side to the next. I don't camp out in that valley, but God is going to move me through. And the space in between my belief and my experience, the space between that and my hope and where I know I'm going, that's faith. That is our faith. That is our trust. That is our hope. Even though, I love that song, even though I can't see it, I know that you're working. Even though I can't see it, I know that you're working. Big fish says to the little fish, "How's the water today?" Little fish says, "What's water?" We live in an atmosphere of grace and of blessing and of goodness and of righteousness and of kindness and of power and of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But so often, we're not even aware that that is what is supporting us, that what is sustaining us, what is surrounding us, is this incredible grace that we live in. And we're always in that atmosphere. But it's like air. We can't see it. I can't see it, but I know it's there. My God is with me. He is for me. I love, there's a verse, I'm wrapping up soon, but it says that there's this verse in Romans 4. It says, God calls out that he speaks life into the things that are not as though they are. That when Abraham was, he was speaking about Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. 100 years old, I don't have any children. How is that going to be? But God speaks into our situation, speaks into the promise of whose we are, that we're full of the Spirit, that that is where we are, that we are rescued, that we are in this place of his grace and his love, that we are people of hope, that we are people of promise, that the mantle has been passed to us, that we're now clothed in this righteousness, in this hope. I'm just really desperate for us to be a people that rediscover the word and the truth of God. What does God say for all of those situations and circumstances that we may or may not be going through right now? God has a word for us. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us as a church. It's upon us. We need to speak those words over ourselves. I mean, Beth working for, what's the thing you called? Kick. Was it Heidelberg Academy? It's not Heidelberg, what's it called? Heidelberg Academy. It's bringing hope, bringing life, speaking the goodness of God over people's lives who don't know that. And that is our destiny. That is who we are. We are the people of God. We're full of the Holy Spirit. We're not half empty. You're not half full. You're full to overflowing. I just think it was Isaiah 61 is the most amazing passage about revival and about truth. And I really would like us to read these words and to speak them out over ourselves. There's no IT. So we're going to put the words on the screen. And I'd like us to stand and I'd like us to declare these words as we speak them out over ourselves, over us as a church, over our families, and whatever situation that you feel that they need to speak, be spoken out of it. Has he saved it on there? Luke 4:18, I think it's on there somewhere. Luke 4. It's Luke 4. And we'll read from 18, Luke 4, 18 to including 19. Well, he's finding that so good. Worship was so good this morning. Every one of those songs, didn't you just feel that it was the Lord was actually singing them back over us every time? Unbelievable. But let's read this together out loud that we can hear in whatever language you can. Because this is the truth. This is who we are. This is the purpose that God has laid upon us. This is why he's filled us with his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can we do that again? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. One more time. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let's do it again. No, we won't do it again this time. Sit down. But repetition, when we repeat these words, when we repeat the word of God over our lives, gradually it sinks in and it changes the way we think, that we set the spiritual temperature for our lives. God is looking to partner with us to grasp hold of the importance of whose we are, who we are, and what we have within us. That you are powerful people, that you have changed the world. One of the prophecies over us as a church says that we are a church that will impact the nations. And I want to speak that over us. I can't believe there are probably more people from other nations in here than there are from the UK, which is fantastic, which is amazing. But that word is beginning to take root and it's beginning to grow. We've got John and Sue in Uganda. There's Emmanuel that's in Uganda. We have people here from all over the world, from almost every continent, bar one. We're working on that one. And this tiny little place, God is doing something, that we are a church that will influence the nations. Lord, we just want to thank you for the words that you've spoken over our lives. We want to thank you for the way that you see us, that we are your people, that we're your children. Lord, that you love us so much and you've put us here, that you have put your seal of ownership on us, and that, Lord, that we have this incredible capacity to know and to share your love wherever we go. Lord, I thank you that we're not weak, but that we're strong. We thank you that we are filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that our future is so bright, that our future is so good. And so, Lord, we say to ourselves, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's sharp. We thank you that it's two-edged. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us through your word. And, Lord, we want to speak those words out. Amen. I just encourage you this week, find some promises. Find 10 promises of God and speak them out over your life. Speak them. Don't read them, but actually speak them out over our lives. Amen.